Just for the purpose of the webcast recording, it's the 1st of April 2020, and it's the Father Heart TV webcast, and today our topic is our certainty in an uncertain world. Our certainty in an uncertain world. When I was first thinking about this, I was going to call it certainty in an uncertain world. But I really felt I had a prompt, and I believe it was from Father, just to put the word our in front of it, to make it really personal and to make it something for us today. Because, you know, I don't want to, it is an uncertain world. There's a lot of uncertainty around, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. But I just really believe that we have a certainty in our faith in who our Father is and who we are. And so I called it our certainty because I really want this to be very personal, and I do want to speak to our hearts this evening. I want to speak to our hearts because it's with our hearts we believe and are saved. It's very, very easy for our mind to take over. But it's with our hearts we believe, it's with our hearts we are saved. And so tonight, this evening, I want to speak into our hearts. I want to speak words of life. And what I believe the Father wants to say to us today is he wants to show us why we can have certainty. And then I just want to spend a few minutes at the end looking at how we can step into that certainty. Because a lot of people will say, you know, they will say, oh, I have a certainty, you know, my hope is secure and all that sort of thing. But they don't really believe it in their hearts. You know, it's one thing to say it and understand it with our mind, but it's another thing to really, really believe it in our hearts, because it's in our hearts that we have the deep feelings of life. And so it's really, I just want to speak to our hearts. I want to talk life into us today, because that's what I believe the Father really, really wants to do for us. And I want to start in Isaiah chapter 43, a very well-known passage. And it's just the first couple of verses I want to read, and then verse 5. But verse 1 of chapter 43 says this. It says, but this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Now, before we go any further, I just want to just emphasize what is being said there. You know, that is a declaration from God Almighty that he is our creator. He is the one who formed us. And I was reminded of the psalm where it says, before we were in our mother's womb, he saw, he knew our unformed body. He created it. See, and really what Isaiah is saying here is that we belong to him. You know, he made us, he chose us, he created us. We belong. You know, now, if that's not enough to give us the certainty and the hope that we're looking for, you know, that on its own is just a tremendous truth. That's a tremendous security that we belong to him. You know, we belong to the God of the universe, the God who created the universe. We belong to the one who holds everything in the palm of his hand. We belong to the one who knows us intimately. You know, he knows the number of hairs on our head. And so really, I just want to underline for us at the beginning of this webcast, of this broadcast, that we belong. We belong to him. And this is just such a tremendous truth. It's a tremendous security that it's definite, it's decisive. And really, that is the thing that is undergirding everything that I want to say tonight. Because that's really where our certainty comes from, is that we belong to Him, that He created us, He formed us, He fashioned us. No, you know, why did He do that? He did that because He is our Father. You know, He is the Father who wanted a family, and He wanted us to be His sons and daughters, and so He very, very carefully knit us together in our mother's womb. And Isaiah is reiterating this great statement at the beginning of this chapter for us, that He created us, He formed us, we belong to Him. And then the second part of verse 1 is, Isaiah says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And what a beautiful encouragement there. You know, with everything that's going on in the world today, it's so easy to have fear. It's so easy to have insecurity. It's so easy to be knocked and swayed by the latest news bulletin or the statistics or someone's opinion of it. And that all creates fear in our hearts. And I know for myself, I've stopped watching the news so much. I only really look at the news once a day now. And I certainly don't read everybody's opinion on what is being said, because I found that absorbing too much of that was beginning to create fear and tension and anxiety. So the news goes to one side. When I drive my car to work, instead of listening to the news, I put some worship music on. I find that by the time I get to the office, I'm in a better frame of mind. And, you know, there is so much fear associated with this virus at the moment. There is so much fear associated with everything that's going on. And yet our Father says to us, "Do not fear. I've called you by name. You are mine." And, you know, again, that's something I want to underline for us this evening, is that whilst the world runs on fear, and whilst the world lives in a fear-based system, we do not. We live in a kingdom of love. Our true home is, we are residents in love, and the kingdom of love is completely the opposite to the kingdom of fear. And it's perfect love that drives out all fear. And, you know, I really just want to encourage us this evening that our Father knows us. He knows all about us. He knows all about our situation. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're struggling with. You know, I did a little video over the weekend called "I've Lost Something," which is on my website. And it was really trying to sort of look at the fact that all of us have lost something. You know, we've lost the ability to go out. We've lost the ability to go shopping. We've lost the ability to get the things we need or the things we would like in the shop. I've lost the ability to see my new grandson grow up in these next few weeks. We have to do it electronically, which is great. But, you know, you do it by video instead of by being there. You know, we've all lost something. And, you know, I did this little video over the weekend really just to try and encourage us to go on receiving comfort in our time of loss. And the problem with loss is we can keep on losing things, and that can lead us down the pathway of fear. Because we kind of start to think, well, what's going to happen? Where's the food going to come from? Where's the money going to come from? And, you know, how am I going to cope when I'm at home today with the kids? And, you know, it's very easy with these losses to take us down this pathway of fear. And, you know, that doesn't do our heart any good. And, you know, here we have our Father saying to us, "Do not fear. And I know for many of us, we are experiencing losses at the moment. And I just want to encourage you tonight that as real as those losses are, and all of us are experiencing them, as real as they are, they do not need to lead us down the pathway of fear. But we are rooted and grounded. We are established in the kingdom of love. And, you know, here we have this wonderful thing, you know, the Father is saying, don't fear, I've redeemed you. Which we know that means, you know, I have bought you back. You are mine. And, you know, again, this is just something I want to underline for us today, is that we are his. We belong to him. You know, he knows all about us. He knows us. He knows what we're struggling with. He knows the things we're finding difficult. He knows the challenges. But he just wants to say to each one of us, I know, I understand, but you are still mine. You know, I know all about you. I created you. Don't fear. Have no fear. You are mine. And the next verse, verse 2, is very, very real for us at the moment, because we can really identify with this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You know, I guess all of us feel like it's a bit, you know, we're going through the waters at the moment. We're being attacked. We're being challenged. And it's like, you know, sometimes we sort of go, help. But we have this assurance that when we pass through the waters, when things are difficult, when things are tough, there is a promise that our Father says, yes, I know you're going through the waters, but I'm going to be with you. You know, when you pass through the river, I'm going to make sure it doesn't sweep over you. When you go through the fire, I'm going to make sure that you're not burnt. You see, what Isaiah is prophesying here is, he says, when you go through the rivers, when you walk through the fire, see, there is a certainty about the conflict and the challenge that we will face. You know, Isaiah doesn't say, if you walk through the waters, I'll be with you. If you walk through the fire, you know, I will make sure you don't get burned. He doesn't say that. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. There's a recognition there that adversity will happen. You know, we are not immune from that adversity. We are not immune from the challenges of life. There is a certainty that, you know, Isaiah is saying, when you go through these things, I will be with you. And, you know, I've heard some people try and make, you know, like try and brush off some of the challenges that people face by, and it kind of sounds a little bit sort of super spiritual in a way. And, you know, it's like, well, come on, let's just recognize that life is tough at the moment. And, you know, sometimes I'm listening to people talk and it's like, it's almost like this pretense that nothing is going on. And I'm kind of thinking, hang on, this is tough for a lot of people. This is a challenge for a lot of people. And this is what Isaiah is saying here. He's saying, when this happens, it will happen. When it happens, I want you to know that I am with you. I will be with you. And he promises us, I believe, three things. He promises us his protection. He promises us his provision. And he promises us his presence. And I want to ask a question tonight for us. Because Isaiah says, when you go through these things, I will be with you. And I want to ask the question, which one of those two things is bigger? You know, is the biggest thing in your mind, is the biggest thing in your life the when? Or is it the I will? And this is something I've really thought about over the last few days. And, you know, I've looked at my own life, and I think last week I was just beginning to be overwhelmed by everything that was going on. And it was like I let the when you pass through the rivers, when you pass through the waters, it was like the when and the now of the immediacy was somehow becoming bigger than the I will of God's presence, protection and provision. And so I asked that question. I asked that not judging anyone, because I've been in that place, and probably next week I will be in that place again. It's like, which one of those things is bigger? And I want to encourage us to focus on the I will. You know, I will be with you. I will provide for you. I will protect you. My presence will go with you. You see, when we focus on the I will, and we let the I will become bigger, the when you of our circumstances will diminish. And I just want to encourage you, whatever you're feeling today, whatever is going on, whatever the challenges are in your life, you know, all of us, I believe, are faced with situations where it feels like we are passing through the waters, we are passing through the rivers, it feels like the flames are attacking us. You know, that is that is the natural reality of our circumstances at this time. You know, when you can't get the food you need in the shops, when you can't get out when you want to get out, when you've got the kids screaming up the place, you know, when you can't get to work, when you can't work at home, when you can't do this, when you can't do that, when all of this is happening, the I will of his presence, protection and provision is bigger. And I want to draw us back to that today, because I really feel like I've seen that over the last few days, that this is just like the Father is saying to us, I know, but I am your provision. I am your protection, and my presence will go with you. And can I just encourage you, please, just, you know, really from my heart to your heart, can I encourage you to look at the I will of who God is, rather than the current circumstances that we all face. Verse 5 of Isaiah 43, it says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name. See, that to me speaks of the Father gathering his children together and gathering us to himself. In Isaiah 40 it says that he carries us, he gathers us to his heart and carries us like a shepherd carries a lamb. And you know what I believe the Father wants to do for us in this season is to gather us to his heart and to carry us close to him, so that we know the I will of his presence, his protection and his provision. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't believe, you may disagree with me on this, and that's fine, but I don't believe that anxiety is necessarily wrong. We all have anxieties. But I think my question is what do we do with our anxieties? You see, you know, we can carry out those anxieties and they can become a burden to us and they can lead us down the pathway of fear. And that's not a good place to go. But what Paul is encouraging us to do here is to, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but But bring your anxieties with thanksgiving and give it to the Father. That's what he's saying. And he's basically saying, you can swap your anxiety for the peace that passes all understanding. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and it will guard your mind. And I think sometimes it's actually our mind that needs more guarding than our heart, because our mind just goes all over the place. But, you know, I believe what Paul is saying here is bring your anxieties and swap them for the heavenly peace which passes all understanding. See, I believe it's his peace, first of all. It's not our peace. It's not a human peace. It's a peace that comes from him. So first of all, we have to remember that it's his peace. It's because he says the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So we are receiving a gift of heavenly peace. And I believe that that gift of heavenly peace is the antidote for our anxiety. See, anxiety is, I think, is connected to a lack of understanding of who our Father really is. And we'll look at that in a few moments. But see, if we don't know, if we don't know who our Father really is, then of course we'll be anxious. But when we know who our Father is, when we understand who our Father is, we can give him our anxieties, we can give him our worries, we can give him our cares, and we can swap that for the heavenly peace that will flood our hearts. You see, it's his peace, not our peace. You see, Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast on you, because they trust in you." See, when we put our trust in our Heavenly Father because we know who he is, you know, the Father is saying, "I will envelop you and encompass you in perfect peace." You know, so peace to me, it's like it's the fruit of trusting in him. Because we let go of our anxiety, we let go of our worries, we let go of our cares, we let go of the things that weigh us down, and we trust them to him, and we give them to him, and in exchange we receive his peace. And to me it's like the peace, the heavenly peace, is the it's the fruit of trusting him. And I just want to encourage us this evening to just once again to put our trust in him, to take his big hand with our little hand and to trust him. See, God is good. God is always good. See, we say those words and we sing those words, but we need to know them in our heart. See, God is good because he's a good Father, and he's a loving Father. He's gracious and compassionate. He's faithful. He's kind. He's tender. You know, he is the perfect Father, and we can trust him. And as we trust him, his peace will flood our hearts. And I just want to encourage us this evening today, wherever we are around the world, just to begin to drink and to receive that peace that comes from him, to receive that heavenly peace. I want to look at just a well-known passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. It's one we refer to very often, but I really want to draw us back to this, because to me it kind of shows us where our certainty lies. And I'm going to read it. It's quite a long passage, but I do want to read it all for us, because I think this is just so important for us to really catch hold of in our hearts. Matthew chapter 6, 25. I tell you, therefore, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They don't labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, I on the webcast last week, I was just saying how I'd got up one morning and looked out of the window, and in a sense, nothing had changed. You know, creation was going on as normal. The flowers were coming out in the garden, that the hedgerows were changing to green, that there was blossom on the trees, that birds were singing. You know, you could look out of the window and think, there's absolutely no problems in the world. Nothing's changed. And, you know, again, I think that that's what Jesus is saying here, is, you know, the birds will come and go, they'll keep singing, the flowers will grow, the grass will grow. You know, it's like that creation all around us is totally unconcerned by what is affecting us at the moment. You know, there's an inbuilt sort of certainty in creation. You know, there's the cycle of the seasons, you know, we know we're in spring, we can look forward to the flowers coming out, the trees becoming green. You know, there's this sort of certainty that we know what's going to happen when we look at creation, when we look at nature. And I've really been struck over the last few weeks. I've seen a number of pictures of the forests in Australia. And it seems a long time ago that we were concerned about the forest fires in Australia. But, you know, it was only a few weeks ago, those fires were raging out of control. And there were pictures all over the news of the devastation of these forests laid bare. And what are we now? 6 weeks, 8 weeks since the fires finished. And there's new life coming in those forests. There's green shoots. The trees are turning green. It's like, you know, nature has taken a battering, but there's a certainty, an inbuilt system of growth and production that is just unconcerned with what's going on in the world. And, you know, I kind of think we can take a lesson from that, in a way that there's a lot going on at the moment. But equally, for us, as Jesus is saying in this passage, there is a certainty for one very simple reason. And we read that reason in verse 32. And it's very simply these words: your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father knows. And for me, that is the certainty that we have in our lives. See, the pagans, Jesus says, the pagans run after all these other things. You see, they allow their worry and their anxiety to be all consuming. and to take over their thoughts and to take over their actions. And, you know, come on, haven't we seen that in the supermarkets over the last few weeks? You know, suddenly something has become all-consuming. You know, how many times have you in your life thought about toilet paper? You know, and suddenly everybody's buying toilet paper for forever. And I bet there's millions of people all over this country, all over this world, who are looking in their cupboards thinking, why did I buy so many toilet rolls? You see, it's like, you know, Jesus says, the pagans run after all of these things, but your heavenly Father knows. And that is our certainty in an uncertain world. Our certainty at this time and any other time, our certainty is your heavenly Father knows. See, it's easy to allow the uncertainty to overwhelm us, and then it becomes a weight to us. But we have this absolute guarantee, this rock solid guarantee that our Heavenly Father knows. And to me, that is the certainty, that's our certainty in an uncertain world. And so I just want to look for a few moments. How do we step into the certainty of our Heavenly Father knows? And I've been thinking about this quite a bit over the last few weeks, over the last few days. It's like, yeah, okay, we know, we can read the scriptures, and you know, we know God is on the throne, and we know he's good, we know he's a good father, but how do we actually step into that certainty for ourselves so that we can say, I know that I know. And Fiona and I were talking about this the other day, and, you know, a child, we were talking about our two-year-old grandson, and just watching him on FaceTime, he's just such a character. He was dressing up the other day and running around, and he was just laughing, and he was kind of play-acting with us over FaceTime, and we were having a wonderful time. But, you know, we suddenly realized he was totally unconcerned about anything. As far as he is concerned, and as far as Finn, who is 3 weeks old now, you know, as far as he is concerned, they have an absolute certainty in their life. And that certainty is called Mummy and Daddy. You know, they know that they will get fed. They know that they will get rest. They know that they will get put to bed and got up in the morning. They know that there'll be activities to do. You know, poor little Asher is two. He can't really understand why he can't go to the park anymore. But, you know, he knows he's got his mum and his dad, and, you know, it's okay. And he can play in the garden, and they can do lots of different activities. And, you know, as far as he's concerned, you know, there is no uncertainty in his heart at all, because he knows that his mummy and his daddy have got it sorted. Now, his mummy and daddy might not know that, but as far as he's concerned, that's his certainty. And, you know, we were just thinking about this and thinking, yeah, you know, this is how we step into this certainty in an uncertain world. And it really, to me, it's coming with a childlike heart. Because a child is unconcerned with uncertainty. They simply trust. And that trust, as we've already said, that's the thing that keeps them in peace. You know, a child has no idea what concerns are weighing on its parents down. You know, those pressures and challenges, they just pass the child by. I mean, I know children pick up atmosphere and everything, but they don't take those concerns on for themselves. They just live in this little bubble of certainty and assurance and peace. And for us to step into this certainty, particularly at this time when it's a very uncertain world, it's the discovery of the childlike heart, and coming as a child. And you see, because our certainty is not in our bank balance, it's not in the stock market, it's not in the supermarkets, it's not in the government. Our certainty is in our Father, because our Heavenly Father knows that we need these things. He knows what we need. See, our Heavenly Father knows. And if we focus on the bank balance or the stock market or the government or the supermarkets or all the other stuff, then life becomes very uncertain. And we lose sight of the rock, the certainty of our life, which is our Father. And so really for me, discovering our certainty in this uncertain world is to have a childlike heart. And, you know, how do we have a childlike heart? I think it's, you know, we talk about the renewing of the mind. And I've come to believe that the renewing of our mind is basically to get our mind out of the way. The renewing of our mind is to enable our heart to be reconnected and to enable us to live in a childlike simplicity. Because I think that our minds struggle a lot with things. They try to rationalize things. They try to work things out. They try to formulate things and put things in order. And sometimes things cannot be put in order. And I think it's, you know, the renewing of our mind is just to get that out of the way so that our heart is open and we have the openness and the receptivity of a little child. And I think our mind leads us into a lot of self-effort and self-justification. But if we get rid of that, we have that openness and simplicity of the heart of a child that is open to receive. You see, when our mind is in the way, it's very, very difficult for us to receive because we've got to try and work it out and earn it. But a child is good at receiving. A child doesn't earn anything. It just receives and it receives and it receives. And for us to sort of step into our certainty, we need to get rid of all of that sense of earning anything, our own effort, and become receivers and just receive all the things that our Father wants to give us. And I believe that those three things I mentioned earlier are so important. His presence, his provision, and his protection are what he wants to give us. And yeah, I believe he'll provide for us practically. He'll help us through this time. Of course I do. But, you know, he wants us to become receivers, people who can receive, because that's the heart of a little child. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says, "If you then, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" See, he's a giver. Our Father is a giver, and he wants us to be a receiver. And for me, to come with a childlike heart is basically saying, I'm going to stop trying to work it out. I'm going to stop trying to work it out through my own effort or my own self-justification. But instead of trying to earn, I want to start to receive. Because he is faithful. He is our provider. He is bigger than our fears. His I will is bigger than the circumstances that we are going through. And so really, I just want to very simply close by encouraging you to become a receiver, not a striver, not an earner. And I want you to know that you really belong to him. And if you belong to him, that's the safest place to be, because he cares for you. And he will keep you, he will keep me in perfect peace. And his peace will pass understanding. And so today I encourage you to swap your anxiety for his peace. And let his peace fill your heart. You see, that's the thing that will give us hope. And we are able to have hope, Romans 5 verse 5 says, because he has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And just as I close now, I just want to pray for us that that hope would rise up within us, because we would know that he's poured his love into our hearts, and that his perfect peace, the heavenly gift of peace, would go beyond all of our understanding. And I just want to pray for us that whatever we're going through, whatever we're struggling with, that we can swap our anxieties for his gift of heavenly peace. So, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to your children. I thank you, Father, that you're gathering your sons and daughters into your presence, close to your heart. I thank you, Father, that you're holding us close to your heart, just as a shepherd carries a lamb. And Father, I thank you that we belong to you, that we are your sons and daughters, that we belong to you. And Father, today I just ask that you would help us to swap our anxieties for your peace. That Father, your gift of heavenly peace would just pour into our hearts. Father, the peace that passes all understanding. Father, may that peace just flood through us. Father, may our minds be renewed so that we cease being strivers, we cease being earners, but we become receivers. We become little children, just open to receive all the good things. Father, may we know that we know that we know that our Heavenly Father knows. Our Heavenly Father knows. And Father, we can have hope because you're our Father and you pour your love into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And just in these moments together, Father, we take time to receive more of your love being poured into our hearts. Father, may the comfort of your love flow into our hearts. Father, may Father, flood us with your love. Flood us with your love. Fill us with your love. Father, thank you that you're loving us right now. Thank you that you are bigger than all of the stuff that's going on in the world. That your will, the I am, is bigger. We bless you, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness. So, Father, we just ask you to lift, we give our anxieties to you, that we would find our certainty is in knowing you, knowing who you are. So, Father, we just ask you to come and bless us with your love, bless us with your provision. Father, for those of my brothers and sisters who need practical provision, I pray, Father, that you would provide for them. Father, for those who just need to know your presence, Father, may they feel that your presence, may they feel you close by them. Father, for those who need to know your protection, may they feel that in their hearts right now. Father, perfect love casts out all fear. And we receive perfect love. We receive perfect love.